Torian, we're going to start, we're going to talk about some of the key races that are coming up in the polling and how the polling has, among other things, kind of reversed. Jimmy, you want to chat about that?
Yeah, I guess let's talk a little bit about it. You know, so the Democrats had really hoped that the abortion issue was going to push them over the edge. And I was actually in D.C. this week and talking to a couple of people that were very staunch Democrats, a university president from Portland. I was in a meeting with him, and he was adamant that somehow abortion was going to be the key element to protect the Democrats right now.
Yeah.
And I think we've said it before, and I'll say it again, that's pretty low on the impact level for the average person. Most people don't get abortions. There's about 400,000 or 500,000 a year, just an unbelievable amount. But at the same time, we're talking how many people are affected. You know, ask how many people are being affected by inflation, how many people are being concerned about crime. And so we're starting to see this shift in the polls back towards Republicans. And I'm going to argue there's two reasons why. The first one is the Democrats used the media to hype the abortion issue after the Dobbs decision from the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade.
Okay.
And allowing it to go to the states. So the media hyped it, the Democrats hyped it, and I think they were believing their own rhetoric. I don't think there was actually the numbers to show it, but there was an impression that there was, which actually shifts poll numbers a little bit. But that's one.
How does that shift poll numbers, Jimmy?
Pardon me?
How does that shift poll numbers?
So when the media is continually harping that, in fact, you know, there's an issue and it's something of importance, then people tend to follow because that's all they hear. You know, they hear it on their nightly news. They hear it in the radio in the car. They hear it, you know, when they look at the paper, they read it in the, you know, on the front page of MSN News or Google News or something like that, which is where a lot of people get their information these days. They don't spend much time actually analyzing a newspaper or actually thoroughly looking at information. So the polls reflect kind of a very surface view what the media is attempting to show. So you have this push with the Roe v. Wade from the Democrats and their supporters, the media. And of course, a lot of corporations jumped on board. Oh, we'll send our employees or pay for people to go to other states to get abortions in the states that are illegal, those types of things. So a lot of that was hype. It maybe affected the polls, but I'm going to give you another potential issue. The polls are very, very important for funding, for fundraising.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
People do not want to donate to a loser. And what you're seeing is an attempt to prop up candidates that are very weak with the media in order to ensure that they get the fundraising as necessary to continue on their campaigns. And I'll give you an example. John Fetterman in the Pennsylvania Senate race against Mahmoud Oz. And Oz is, I don't think he's a great candidate, but he's a well-known person.
You bet.
And he's a doctor. He's on TV. He has a lot of, a lot of notoriety. And he also can communicate well with people. John Fetterman, a small town mayor in a very decrepit city with a very awkward record, had a stroke and has failed to actually be able to stand very long or communicate very long in any of his rallies. He's got stifled speech, and he has a very large growth on the back of his neck. And if anybody was actually questioning, if the media was actually questioning what's going on, he would get no support, and the money would dry up, the advertising would dry up, and he'd be way behind in the polls.
Yeah, of course.
But what you're seeing from MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN is a discounting or attacking of anybody that actually questions Fetterman's competence. Very similar to what's happening with Biden. And that ensures that there's a perception that he's got a possibility and they keep throwing money at it.
Yeah.
Another example, and this goes both ways in Georgia. Herschel Walker is not the most eloquent speaker in the world.
No,
in fact,
not even close.
Yeah, and he had a very tough time in education at University of Georgia when he played there.
Mm-hmm.
He's popular because he was a football player, but his policies are being driven by the Republican, organization in Georgia, but he's not a great candidate. Well, Ralph Warnock, his opponent, is a terrible candidate as well. Both of them are being propped up by the funders and the people with influence, where they think they can actually, you know, kind of get this over the hump. And so that's an interesting one. But here's the really interesting one that I think is really shows the nefarious nature of Washington, D.C. insiders. Blake Masters, Republican nominee for the Senate race against the former astronaut Kelly in Arizona. Blake Masters won the primary, and you would hope that most Republicans would jump out behind a guy that was against, you know, open borders, that was a strong advocate for checking and following up with election problems and issues, that's very much against the deep state and government. And Arizona would typically go that way. But no, Mitch McConnell and the Senate reelection campaign dropped their funding because he's too close to Trump. And the reason why Mitch McConnell is afraid and some of the inside Republicans are afraid is because if they get a tip the balance in the Senate with more powerful America First Senate senators after this November race, Mitch McConnell might lose his position as leader. And I think he should, in my view, because he's undermining candidates.
Yeah.
He did it to Joe Kent in Washington State in District 3 congressional race. He and Kevin McCarthy, they funded candidates to undermine Joe Kent, an incredibly talented and decorated combat operator, special forces officer, whose wife was killed in Syria just in 2019. I believe 2018 or 2019, just a phenomenal guy.
That's turning out to be a pretty interesting race up here, Jim.
Yeah, and I'm fairly confident Joe Kent's going to win that because, Cowlett County, or Cowlett County, that area down there, very conservative.
Yeah.
He beat Jeremy Herrera Butler in the primary, who was the incumbent Republican, and she voted against Donald Trump in the impeachment hearing. So he won that because the Republicans supported him. When you look at the numbers there, it's going to be hard for a Democrat to win that. And I think he's engaging very strongly. But the downside, and this is a very disturbing trend, is the insider Republicans were undermining these candidates in order to protect their power, not to benefit the nation. And that's what's sickening to me.
Jim, what do you think about the Patty Murray race here in Washington?
So Tiffany Smiley, I think, is a very talented, she's pretty young, a good candidate.
Yep.
Patty Murray's number three in the Senate in seniority and, power. She has done really nothing for the state, but it's such a left state with Seattle. I mean, Seattle is such a leftist area,
right,
that they influence the entire outcome of the state. So what it's really going to depend on Tiffany Smiley to overcome this is a real frustration with crime in Seattle,
yeah,
with people fed up with the indoctrination for their children at schools and the lockdowns, with Jay Inslee's continual hold on power. And if that's enough to motivate outside of Seattle to get the eastern part of the state and those county areas that are basically have not been engaged because they just feel their vote is useless and worthless in Washington State. So it's a tough, I think it's a tough race for Tiffany Smiley. The interesting part about it is she's made it a kind of a tight race.
Yeah, she has.
That's very unusual.
So there's a lot of people right now that think that she might take it.
Yeah, and I think she's a much better senator possibility with experience and youth. She'll do more for the state, in my view, than Patty Murray has done in her entire time there. And you got to take away some of this power for Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats, mm-hmm, in order to achieve anything that's going to protect the nation. So I think Tiffany Smiley is a good candidate. I think she should do fairly well. The problem with Washington, mail-in ballots, you've seen since back with Christine Gregoire and Dino Rossi, where,
right,
they kept finding the votes until they beat Dino Rossi.
Right.
You know, it took three recounts and an extra 100 ballots to pop up to change the outcome of that election, which is a significant precedent that was set back in, you know, 20 years ago. And unfortunately, it's now the Democrat template around the country. Yeah.
Jim, let me ask you one other question. The governor of the state of Washington right now has his eyes on perhaps running for president of the United States under the Democratic Party. What are the odds of that happening, in your opinion?
I think that Jay Inslee will not go anywhere, just like he did before. He's a wacko candidate. He's not a bright guy. He's pushed, you know, his whole thesis is pushing the green agenda, which somehow people believe is going to do for them something, is going to be successful, but basically it's social engineering.
Yeah.
People are frustrated with it. He didn't go anywhere in the last election campaign. I'm fairly confident that the Democratic nominee or the front runner for the Democratic party for the 2024 election is going to be Gavin Newsom from California.
Yeah, I'm,
and Jay Inslee won't even come close.
I agree with that.
Jay Inslee's he's a tyrant, actually, and he's not very bright.
No, doesn't appear to be. There's no question about that. I wouldn't say that he's done much for the state of Washington. I think he basically has tried to, for lack of better terms, feather his own nest. Where do you want to go from here, Jim?
You know, the only thing I would actually, and I know, you know, there's a lot of consternation out there about the Russia-Ukraine issue, and a lot of our listeners that are, you know, I don't know where they stand, if they're really supportive of Russia or not, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the tactics that the Ukrainians are losing.
Let's talk about the submarine situation.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's one. That's an interesting one. So there is reporting from UK intelligence officers, and it's been publicly put out there. I think even Fox News ran something on it that says the Russians are moving their fleet of diesel electric submarines from the Crimea over to the Novorossiysk, over to a different port.
Right.
And that would indicate a concern of either sabotage or potentially a movement that they would not, you know, down onto the peninsula that they would not be able to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very interesting repositioning those submarines. And the fleet making that decision to do that is a very interesting dynamic from a perspective of what the Russians are expecting to happen in the Crimea. So, and that would mean that it would indicate that they're expecting a pretty sizable offensive into the region.
Right.
And potential isolation and logistics sustainment problems to maintain security around their bases.
Yeah. And well, I don't
that
know.
Could
I just...
be. That could be based on Ukrainian weapon systems. They are saying that they've hit long-range weapon systems with their or long-range targets with their own weapon systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how accurate that is. There is some capacity there. They do have some technology. They were, you know, very big arms developers back in the Soviet Union. But they, again, they're smaller and they have a smaller industrial base. But they are getting support from a lot of people.
Yeah, they
are. I think Frankie. I do want to add this. You know, Frankie made a point that, you know, destroying small businesses and the West is doing that. And I agree with him 100%. You know, big tech, Amazon's, the big global corporations in the West are the ones that are doing the most damage to our small businesses. And they're doing it on purpose to shut them down.
They are. Of course they are.
And I totally agree with that. I just don't believe that Russia is the answer to solving that problem. And this war is definitely not. But on the tactics side, so some people, Health Ranger, you know, a couple of these guys have come out and had people on talking from Ukraine, talking about how many losses the Ukrainians had. Those are fabricated numbers. Those are massive, talking 15,000 to 18,000 KAA in the east in the attack. That's absolutely bogus number. And I'll tell you what people do not understand. The Crimea, or the southern and Crimea offensive operations right now, the ones in the south, that's where the big bulk of Western supplied armaments are for the Ukrainian forces. So that's where the U.S. HIMARS are. That's where the Russian, the Carl Gustavs, the anti-tank weapons. They're down there in the very strong positions that the Russians had reinforced. In the east, in Kharkiv, and in that area where they've actually liberated, they were using territorial defense forces and their old Soviet style weapons.
Yep.
They were not using their best weapons. So they had success partly because of Russians repositioning down to the south, but they actually encircled some very large formations of troops, Russian troops, that left lots of equipment. And they destroyed a lot. The Ukrainians destroyed a large number, verified over 100 pieces of under 100 tanks. That's a tremendous loss in a matter of about a week. The Russians are going to have a hard time making up these losses. This is incredibly expensive and very difficult for the manufacturing to keep up with that.
Yeah.
So the Ukrainians are using interesting tactics. They are not attacking the center of gravity, the big major urban areas. They're surrounding, isolating, taking away Russian logistics support, and then those Russian forces are really don't have the will to sustain themselves, so they go ahead and leave. The Ukrainians are leaving an outlet for the Russians to escape and to move back, which is a very smart tactic, especially with territorial defense forces. And we're talking, when I say talk about territorial defense forces, we're talking about guys on foot with AKs or anti-tank, you know, shoulder-fired anti-tank weapons, and then backed up with some artillery. They've got very little air support, but there is some air support that's popping back into the battlefield, which is surprising because it shows that there is not air supremacy. And as the Ukrainians gain more territory and more confidence, we'll see how the Russians do. But it's a very tough fight right now for the Russians.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's been a tough fight for a long time for the Russians. There's no question whatsoever in my mind about that. Jimmy, we've been going for about 17 minutes. How do you want to wrap this up?
Well, Al, I appreciate the thoughts from the listeners out there and the comments on my family and the things we've gone through. That's very nice. And, you know, we've all gone through it. You've gone through it. And I'll be heading out to California in a week for memorial ceremonies.
Yeah.
I'm praying that we have a lot more knowledge of what's happening out there with this vaccination status.
Yeah.
That we actually have some accountability for the Pfizer, Moderna, you know, these corporations that have basically pushed an agenda to achieve financial gains and hurt Americans and hurt other people around the world. And I'm looking forward to, I'm looking forward to some transparency. And I have a good suspicion. I have a good, looking at these numbers that we talked about in the beginning, the polling and the agendas, that we're going to have a different makeup in our political system come November.
Well, I'm praying that you're right on that one. I think it's the only thing that's going to save our country, if you want to know the truth, Jim. And I really, really believe that our country needs very definitely a breath of fresh air right now. Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You bet, Al. Thank you.